This is the Word of God found in John chapter 21, verses 15 through 19. John 21, 15 through 19. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. I appreciate what's gone on before. We need to meditate on the cross. And what happened on the cross goes beyond what we're able to understand. But the Bible, throughout the Bible, gives us so that we can have a greater understanding of it. The depth of the sufferings of Christ in soul and in body when he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Goes beyond our comprehension. But we still ought to try to comprehend it. And that's some of what you've just heard. I hope you yourself will do that. Consider not only his physical sufferings, the nails and the thorns and the scourge, finally the spear. I hope you'll consider the deeper sufferings of what it meant when our Lord Jesus Christ was forsaken by God for the sake of God's children. When the only begotten Son of God redeemed every one of the adopted children of God. Appreciate that meditation. And it takes a lot. It is a process of humbling, isn't it? You think, he was made to be what I am. That is, he was made to be sin for us. Me being sinful, he was made to be sin for me. Not just to show God's love, although it did show God's love. But it did more than that. It was so that I, so that you, so that every child of God might be made the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. It was a suffering with a purpose and a suffering with a victory. And we still meet in thanksgiving and celebration of that victory today, waiting for the time when we will see that victory in its fullness. Right now, we see afar off. We see as through a glass darkly. But you know what we'll see then? Face to face. Face to face. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. Now are ye the sons of God. And it doth not appear, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. But for now, what a blessing to think upon and consider and meditate upon what he went through, what he was made to be, in order that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Y'all are familiar with this passage of Scripture. When the Lord asked Simon Peter three times, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Some of you know that different Greek words are even used there. Many of you know that this seems in a very troubling way to correspond with the three times Simon Peter denied the Lord before the Lord went to the cross. But I have just one simple thought, and I want to go back maybe and look at some of the background, but mainly I do want to go ahead and get to what's on my heart about this scripture. Good food makes you stronger and can even heal some severe diseases. But good food doesn't do that by sitting down to one or two very good, healthy meals. The way it makes you stronger and heals those diseases is by many months and sometimes years of eating that way. The truth of the Lord Jesus Christ makes your soul, makes your inward man stronger, and can even heal some of the diseases that we have inwardly. But the same thing applies. It's not a one-shot cure. It's a long-term, day-by-day, week-by-week of intake of the Word of God that makes our souls stronger and healthier. So, trying to put it in one sentence, this is the message. We need a lifelong intake of the Word of the Lord Jesus Christ in order to be healthy within. We just need a lifelong consumption, understanding of the Word of God in order to be healthy. Now, I'm not saying that if you have a lifelong intake of the Word of God that nothing hard or difficult or sad is ever going to happen in your life. That's just not so. If you look at the life of the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter, the Apostle John, the Apostle James, what the church went through, they went through some severe difficulties. I'm just saying that when you encounter those things with a strong and healthy soul, when the inward man has been refreshed by the Word of God, that you can encounter those heartbreaking tragedies and troubles with more calmness, peace, and strength as you're able to trust and rest in the victory of Jesus Christ. And that's a powerful thing. That's a good thing. That's something worth desiring. So let's look at this very simply. There the Lord met with them. And just to let you know when and where this occurred, the when is after our Lord Jesus suffered on the cross and there was made to be sin for us who knew no sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He, having accomplished that great redemption, did as He said. He laid down His life and went to paradise to meet the thief that He said He would meet that day. But moreover, to be in the arms of His Father again. And His body was taken down from the cross and buried in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. There that body lay until the third day, in which case He did what He said He would do. He took it up again. God raised Him from the dead, showing the approval and the acceptance of that sacrifice. And so the Lord was raised from the dead, and He appeared unto Mary Magdalene right there at the tomb, in the graveyard. And He appeared to two of His disciples who were walking on the road to Emmaus. And so He encountered some that were right there in the area of Jerusalem. But He told His disciples that He would meet them in the province of Galilee. And so Galilee is about 60, 70 miles north of Jerusalem. So the Lord was there risen from the dead. And if you want to know when this was, after He rose from the dead, He spent 40 days on earth before he ascended to the Father on high. So the when of this occasion is in the 40 days between the resurrection and his ascension back to the Father from the Mount of Olives. So he rose from the grave there in Jerusalem. And yet he also went 60, 70 miles north to Galilee. And if you or I were to drive it by car, it would be about an hour. But by foot, it's probably about a 3-day journey. But he was on earth for 40 days, so he met his disciples in Galilee. And then he came back to Jerusalem because he went with his disciples up the mount, out as far as Bethany, and then up on the Mount of Olives, and that's where he ascended to his Father. So there was a lot of teaching, and there was a lot of traveling in those 40 days after the Lord Jesus Christ rose. But this occurred during that period, and where it occurred was, John tells us, on the Sea of Tiberias, which is another name for the Sea of Galilee. It was called the Sea of Tiberias. It was called the Sea of Galilee. It was called the Lake of Kinnereth. All referring to the same body of water. Do you know that that is the lowest elevation freshwater lake in the world? The lowest elevation saltwater lake in the world is the Dead Sea. Now, I didn't know that about the Sea of Galilee till today. Those are the two lowest elevation bodies of water on the planet. And so the Lord met his disciples there. They didn't at first know it was him. But then he revealed himself to them. John was able to say to Peter, "It is the Lord." Peter cast himself into the sea, swam to shore. The other disciples that had gone fishing with him came, pulling the fish that they had caught after the Lord had bade them cast their net on the right side of the ship. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit, tells us exactly how many fish they caught. 153. I don't know why, but it's in there for a reason. It's something we need to know. I just don't know why at this time. But they caught 153, and they brought it to shore. When they brought it to shore, the risen Lord, who had all power in heaven and earth, had cooked breakfast for them on the shores of Galilee. He had fish and bread there baking on the coals. He had cooked breakfast for them. And so they sat down to eat. And that's when this occurred. The Lord three times spoke to Simon Peter, who had denied him three times. Started off, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" I don't know if he was saying, "Simon, do you love me more than these fish and this activity that it takes to catch them and the way of life you had occupied before you began to follow me?" Or if the "these" was, "Do you love me more than these other fellows here?" Because remember what Simon had said right there at the Last Supper, before the Lord said he would deny him three times. He says, "Though all men forsake thee, yet will I not forsake thee." So now that he had denied the Lord three times, what a hard question this was to answer. "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" And three times Simon said in one form or another, "Yea, I love thee." And I understand from the Greek, he probably answered, "Yes, I like you." And then, "I like you." And the third question from the Lord was more like, "Simon, do you even like me?" That's hard. Have you ever had one of those occasions where you feel so guilty about something you've done? And you come close to the Lord and he confronts you about that. And yet he confronts you in love, because he's not going to lose you. It's a hard confrontation. I've had some of these. Or I'm just ashamed of things I've done and said. Just ashamed. Hard to come before the Lord. But you know what? Even in times when I would give up on me, he didn't. Because we're held not by our own efforts. We're held by the faithful love of the living God. Anyway, after each of these questions and Simon's answer, the Lord gave an instruction. "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep." What are the sheep? Did the Lord Jesus Christ have a flock or some livestock that maybe Joseph left him or something? No, the Scripture tells us plainly what the sheep are. In John, the same book, chapter 10, the Lord says this, verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Whatever the sheep are, there's something that the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for. Go to Ezekiel chapter 34. There's some sheep that the Lord there speaks about, and at the end of the chapter, he tells us plainly what those sheep are. He says, in Ezekiel 34, verses 30 and 31, thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, and that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, saith the Lord God, and ye, my flock, the flock of my pasture, are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. We find out what the sheep are again in Psalm 100. Says there in verse 3, know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Psalm 23, you know that one. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, by implication, what David was saying, if the Lord is my shepherd, I am his sheep. So when the Lord said, feed my sheep, he's talking about his children that he calls Israel, spiritual Israel, out of every nation upon the face of the earth. His sheep are his people. And so when he says, feed my sheep to Simon Peter, he's talking about feeding his people, his elect, his redeemed, his beloved. Well, what are they supposed to be fed? Part of the reason this came to my mind is we've had some mighty good spiritual food over the last few days. We've had an awful lot of physical food as well. As a matter of fact, we still have a lot. So I hope as many of you as possible will stay for lunch. And I was thinking about that, but what is the Lord talking about when he says to Peter, feed my sheep? Well, let's read what Peter himself writes about it in 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, starting in the first verse, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. That's what he's talking about, the sincere milk of the word. There's also a meat of the word. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that he's fed the children there at Corinth with meat. But he says in 1 Corinthians 3 and 2, I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. So there's the milk of the word and there's the meat of the word. And I'm not going to try to go into detail about that now. But then the Apostle Paul also said to the elders of Ephesus there, feed the flock of God which is among you, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. So I hope you can see this. I think you knew it already, but I just wanted to show it to you scripturally, that the sheep are God's people, and what they are to be fed with is God's word. But let me say it again to emphasize it before I sit down. There are some ways of eating food, and I'm just talking naturally now, that will make you strong and make you resistant to or even heal from certain diseases. You know, after the Renaissance, when what we call the Age of Exploration occurred, many Europeans had gotten sea travel to the point that they were heading to North America and South America in the 1500s and 1600s, 1700s and 1800s. Sea travel became far more prevalent, long distance sea travel. And of course, they had to supply for the journey, so they salted pork and other meats and fish and things in barrels so it would keep for a long voyage, since they wouldn't be able to resupply so much. And they would also pack a dried biscuit, which we might call crackers, and they would have meal there to make porridge or oatmeal, different foods that would last a long time out at sea. And they would venture out, and a lot of the men started getting very sick. Their skin would get rough. Their limbs would begin to hurt. They would get weak. Their gums would bleed. They might even lose teeth. They started having trouble, and some would die. The name that the English came up for this particular affliction was scurvy. Why would that happen? They'd get out for a few weeks out to sea, and they would start having all this trouble, all this disease. They'd lose men that way. Well, that went on for a couple of centuries. It was 1746 before a physician discovered if he would equip those ships, the voyages, with some oranges and lemons, or perhaps later on some limes, then this disease just didn't occur. The men that took the orange juice, lemon juice, or lime juice would be resistant to this. Their skin wouldn't get rough. Their limbs would stay strong. They wouldn't hurt. Their gums wouldn't bleed. Their teeth would stay in. They wouldn't die. They'd make it across. And so they began to discover that fresh vegetables and fruit like this would prevent this disease known as scurvy. 1746 before they discovered that. But it was not a matter of you get out to sea and peel and eat one orange and you're good for a month. That's not the way it was. You needed some of that, you know, a few times a week. Happened again in the 1800s in the United States in the English colonies. People settled there. They were pretty healthy. Then the United States declared independence and the westward movement became. People began exploring the West and moving away from the seacoast. They weren't near the salt air. They didn't eat fish. They started developing goiters, big old lumps on the side of their neck. Their thyroid gland was malfunctioning. One man went in and began to research it. He discovered there was a shortage of iodine. They were not eating seafood. They were not near the seaweed. They were not near the. And so he began prescribing iodine. Eventually they began to put iodine in salt in order to prevent thyroid malfunction. The bottom line I'm saying is a good food will heal diseases and lead to greater physical strength. Why, even if you have a low carbohydrate diet and you eat lean meats, wild caught fish, you know, you eat fresh vegetables and stuff, you can bring things like diabetes and variable blood sugar under control and be healthier as a result of good food. But you can't sit down to one good meal. You can't say, I'm going to skip dessert and bread this meal, and I'm going to eat me some wild-caught salmon and some fresh steamed vegetables, and boom, all of a sudden my blood sugar's under control all year. It's not going to work. You can't get out and say, I'm going to eat some seaweed and use some iodized salt sitting here in the middle of the continent, and that'll keep me free from thyroid problems all year. You can't do it that way. It's got to be little by little, a few times a week. You need to have that diet, little by little, a few times a week. The inward man, which you have by the new birth, delights in the law of God. Amen. That's what Paul said in Romans chapter 7. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. You just heard Brother Michael speak about that. There's an old man within us, kind of like Ishmael and kind of like Cain, kind of like Esau. There, the old man, the law of sin wars in our members, causes us to do things we don't even really want to do on the inside. And yet there's an inward man as well. Amen. It's like Isaac, like Abel, like Jacob, that delights in the law of God after the inward man. Do you know, in order for that inward man to be strong and healthy, He needs the law of God that he delights in. He needs the Word of God. And it's not a one-shot thing. Now, I expect maybe sometimes some of God's children runs into a message that changes their life. But it's rarely ever that way that it's good for a lifetime. We need the Word of God every day. If you're blessed to be able to read, then that's how often you need to read your Bible. We live in a unique time. There's a lot of times in history a lot of people haven't been able to read. The only way they would get the Word of God is somebody that could read, tell it to them, and they memorize as much as they could. You're blessed to be able to read. If you want to be healthy in soul, you need to read a little of the Bible every day. And you know how it is. When you eat, you go to the grocery store, you do maybe most of your meals and cook them at home, try to make it healthy and everything. But every once in a while, it's good for you to just relax, and if you are able to afford it, go out to a place where the meals are good and healthy and well-cooked. Sit down and enjoy that. You need that too. We need to feed each other. That's why the disciples met together on the first day of the week. They met weekly. Not only did they need one another's fellowship, and I'm persuaded a lot of it was that. They were reading and thinking about the Word of God every day in their homes. But they needed to pray together and encourage one another. And so the disciples met the first day of the week. And the Lord told them not to forsake the assembling of themselves together. That was what His will was. That from time to time they get together to encourage one another. Pray for one another. See one another. But one other additional benefit is they heard the preaching of the gospel once a week. Somebody that God had called to not just go to the Word of God for daily consumption, but try to learn a little more of how to take those great, fresh, healthy things that God had gave and proclaim them and explain them. Once a week, to have a meal prepared by somebody else. And we need that today. And we don't need it just as a one-shot thing. We need a steady, good diet for our souls. Will that cause all the troubles of life to go away? Absolutely not. It won't, let's be honest. I mean, really, if you have a perfectly healthy diet, and you know your blood pressure and your blood sugar is just right, and you don't have scurvy, and you don't have thyroid problems, and you just have a great diet, will that prevent you from breaking your leg if you fall down a flight of stairs? No. But let me tell you this. It will cause you to heal faster. That broken leg, after you set it, if your diet's good and all of that, that broken leg, the healing time, is going to be a lot shorter. And I think you'll find that for the inward man. Will the person who is daily blessed to have the Word of God and to take it in and to do it, will they never have any problems in life? No, they won't. But they will overcome those more quickly. They will be able to rest in God more peacefully. They will be able to respond to those problems better. It's like Job said. Can you think of, you think Job, for all the times he obeyed God, never had any problems? He lost all his assets, his possessions, lost his income, lost his children, and lost his health. I'll tell you what, a lot of y'all have suffered deeply. I don't know if anybody suffered as much as Job in that regard. You know what Job said? I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary meat. And Jesus Christ even quoted from Deuteronomy, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God. I hope, not only naturally, but even more so spiritually, you and I will be blessed with a healthy diet and the strength and the health that comes from it, and that we will maintain it as a regular way of living and thereby be able to understand more of the health and the strength and the peace and know more and appreciate more of the victory that's given to us by grace through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you, dear God, for blessing us so much, all our lives, but in particular in the last few days. Dear Father, as we prepare to leave this location, go about the things, Lord, that are before us. Help us to do it by enjoying the Word of God, by being strengthened by the health-giving properties of Thy Holy Word. Oh, Lord, thank You, dear God, for each one that's gathered here. Thank You for their lives and their dedication to Your house and to Your Word and to Your cause. Oh, God, thank You for those that have been tuning in to listen here online. Father, thank You that we have that capability. Bless us, oh God, to be faithful servants unto You and to serve one another for Jesus Christ's sake. Forgive us our sins. Help us, Lord, we pray again, to humble ourselves and to pray, seek Thy face and to turn from our wicked ways. Father, we pray, strengthen the inward man. Help us to put on the new man and let it be a help to others and a glory to Thy name. For we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.